rebates for the over-the-counter sales. As you may or may not know, a few years ago, the request to having those commissions be directed into the operators' pockets who have over-the-counter facilities was granted to be offered as an annual basis of a vote to be able to reallocate these commissions. And with that said, I've listed it on this annual agenda for vote. And so, Chairman, if you would like to proceed with this vote, I'm certainly in favor of this.
Okay, sir. Is there anybody willing to make the motion?
Could you give some background feedback? It was kind of a short, you know.
So each year, part of the Pepsi contract, we receive $2 a case. Is that what it is, Tracy? For over-the-counter sales of beverages sold at over-the-counter facilities. For example, seasonal locations, who directly work with Pepsi, Frank, who may work with Pepsi, their kickback, part of this contractual agreement, comes into our agency. So in previous years, the request was made during, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was during the start of the pandemic, as funds were very limited to operators, that those commissions be forwarded directly to those operators who operate over-the-counter facilities, who sell the products, in which in turn the commissions are being directly paid to the agency on behalf of their facility sales. So the request for vote is to have the rebates for over-the-counter locations be directly paid to the operators for the sales that occurred in their facility.
I, Brandy, will make the motion to allow the operators to receive the rebate from their Pepsi over the sale counter. Over the counter sale, sorry.
Keith Haley, second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? Motion carries.
I'm sorry, Frank. Kyle, this is Shelley. So, from my understanding, it was never passed before. I thought we voted yes for this.
We did, but we voted
or it has to be done.
Annually.
Oh, it's an annual vote. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remember we did that.
It's
an annual thing. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about programmatic highlights. Cheryl touched on several of the topics in which I'm just going to go a little bit more in depth with, because I think it's important that we discuss these wins for the program, especially in a time in which we're looking to pick up. I would probably say this will probably be the last time I would speak in reference to we're picking up. I think this is the norm, and we need to move forward with what we have, in front of us and the opportunities in the future that may present itself. And here are just a few highlights, again, of this year. One, we'll go back to Greenwich Beach. So Sovi, formerly operated at Norwalk DMV, took the leap of faith, really. To take on an operation in the magnitude that we observed it to be, and really did an incredible job our first year. But with that, I'd be remiss not to acknowledge Angel and everything that he has done to assist with that. The one thing that I think we collectively all have to remember is that it's truly a group effort to move anyone forward, let alone a program. And so each and every one of you carry an expertise, carry something that truly can be of great value to another operator within our program. And I think, early on, what Angel, ultimately suggested to do, his initial reach out to Sovi and to answer the questions that can't be trained, you know, to answer those questions and those concerns and provide reassurance that you're doing, you know, things correctly, and that, you know, this is part of the job, this comes with it, you know, from a point of view of some of a position that he's currently in, and you know, was able to kind of whittle himself a strategy of success as well. So, you know, hats off to Angel for, you know, being such an assist and a leader in the Sovi. And these words, you know, come from me, but they also come from Sovi and speaking with her. So definitely a joint effort. Overall, Greenwich is completely satisfied with our first year, so that's even a bigger kudos. And so, you know, they anticipate our return next year, which is even a bigger kudos because we're under a contract with them. So hats off to Sovi. You did a great job, and, you know, keep it up, and you'll be good. So that's a wonderful thing. Then we'll move on to Southern. Obviously, we know this was a huge success on the program as a whole. I mean, the way that collectively, I'd say the administration really put orchestrated getting this opportunity was very different. You know, we were trying to push our priority. However, since it's such a sensitive time out in many places and in state agencies, there was nothing different with the sensitivity of budgets at the college, Southern Connecticut State University. They essentially wanted to make this a bid process for the food service, and we were able to curate this opportunity to allow Amos Katorma, who accepted this opportunity, to partner with Sodexo Foods, and that has gone off very well. Sodexo Foods has been just really, really a pleasure to work with. They've taken in Amos with open arms, and to Tracy's point, not only did we, you know, create this opportunity for an operator, but we were able to also secure 22 vending machines, snack vending machines on the property, in which we've never had in the past. And again, those commissions will be going directly to Amos as well. So this was a true win, and obviously with the hopes of executing this and Amos doing a great job, in which we anticipate, this could potentially open up doors for the other remaining state colleges once those contracts expire. So, again, this is, you know, an operator kind of laying it on the line to hopefully butterfly opportunity for other operators down the line. And while we stay on Amos, Amos has actually also recently been nominated for the 32nd Annual New Britain Commission on Persons with Disability Award. That's a ceremony they have every year. And I was approached by VR in regards to them wanting to nominate Amos. And of course, it was a no-brainer for me to write my recommendation on Amos. And hopefully, he will be selected for this award. And the ceremony is October 7th. So let's keep Amos in positive light and hope that he gets that award. Because he did a tremendous job even in New Britain as well. I was there on his last few days, right before his last day in New Britain, and he had a lot of people came down to say their goodbyes, and very similar to being here when he left Besby, and a lot of people wished him well. So Amos has done well and deserves everything that, you know, comes with it. So that's off to him. Moving on, we talk about the Federal Post Office. We know that RSA had came down with a TAC, technical assistance document, that it essentially stated that any commissions on federal properties should be essentially in the pockets of operators. Within that TAC, and which, let me just say, I had no opposition towards, and there was no time frame in achieving this conversion, but what we did was we heard them loud and clear, and we were able to pivot pretty quickly in providing these opportunities. You know, these are the things that, again, when I say, and I truly mean this, that I don't look at the budget as my money, I look at the budget as opportunity. So if there's funds that we can rechannel and direct ad in accordance to regulations and guidance, I'm all for it. So with that said, we were able to not only create and bring in a new operator, Karan, but we were able to take our senior operator, Dave, and you know, take him out of which was a pretty bleak situation at New Haven Courthouse and bring new life to him through the spending route opportunity at the Hartford Post Office. So again, that's a double win on both aspects of how we're managing this program. New operator comes in, existing operator provided with a better opportunity. You know, certainly things to be happy and proud about. Moving along, I don't know if many of you knew this, depending on what part of what year you were on the committee, but 450 Columbus Boulevard is a state building that was renovated some time ago, many years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, anyhow, it was renovated, and with that renovation, the request came from the building that we invest $500,000 into the cafeteria for our operator to be able to operate. At that time, we utilized $250,000 of the vocational rehab dollars, which was good. They were considered what match dollars. I think Terry Smith had touched a little bit on it earlier when he was stating his pitch to Department of Education. But we used $250,000 of match dollars to kind of use as a deposit down, and then our agreement was to pay $50,000 annually up to the $500,000 mark. Well, when COVID hit, obviously that put a halt to all operations cafeterias, and that including 450. We had initially asked for a delay in paying that, essentially a suspension of paying our payment, in which in turn, right before Brian left, I asked if he could do me one little favor and go back to the building and or DAS and see if we can get that $50,000 just completely waived, because we were heading into year two of the pandemic, in which he did, and they were gracious enough to waive $50,000. In Brian's last email before he retired, he did end it with, "We'll be sure to pay next year." And that next year came when he was gone, and so I took the leap of faith of saying, "Can I possibly have this additional $50,000 waived?" And with respect, they actually approved that. So we were able to essentially save $100,000 of financial responsibility, which, I mean, certainly makes sense because we're not currently in operation. But, you know, I think the hard question just needed to be asked. I could have asked, can we just, you know, pause this one again? But I just wanted to get right to it and see if they would be respectful and waiving, in which they did. So that's excellent. And so there, you know, we were able to save again $100,000, essentially paying $400,000 out of the $500,000 in our contractual responsibility. You know, a couple things I just want to talk about right before we go into the next subject is, and it kind of piggybacks off of what Terry Smith stated in regards to what it takes to be a committee member, but I kind of wanted to piggyback off that and talk about what I think it just takes to be an operator during these times. And I think, you know, a couple points that I want to leave you all with is, it's going to take commitment from all of you, from us. And the commitment is to, you know, essentially provide the best version of you each and every day when you go to your facilities, the facilities that you oversee, and know that what you're doing is truly the best that you can do. Because it's just tough times, and, you know, only the stronger is going to last in this business. And so, you know, giving your commitment to be the best and provide the best, it's going to go a long way. It's going to resonate, and you'll see results from that. Another piece is courage. It's going to take courage from you guys. And, you know, I'm speaking directly to operators, because there is a fair. You know, obviously, many of you operators have operated, you know, one particular style of business for so many years, and, you know, each day has come and gone with the hopes that something's going to resume in the manner that you knew it for yesterday. And my fear is, because no one has a crystal ball, is that you're going to just allow yourselves to wait so long that the benefits of having the courage to step into new foreign territories that may be presented down the line is going to be missed. And, you know, you're going to reduce your ability to maximize your ability by waiting for something that may never come. So I just want you guys to, you know, really come together and kind of, you know, pat each other back, but root each other on and support each other and give words of encouragement and, you know, kind of really speak from a place where you want to see someone succeed and give them the courage to believe in themselves. And because I'm just afraid that the fight that we're headed down, because I know what I want, and I want big places, I want real opportunities for you all, but I want you to want it just as bad as me. And with that, you have a little more responsibility than I do, and that is to get up and believe in yourselves that you can do it. That's, you know, your responsibility to figure out your transportation needs to get to those facilities, and not allow anything to be an excuse to accomplishing the goal of achieving success in any area of this state. If there's a good dollar to be made, it's up to you to go for it. So I just want you guys to think about that. Another thing is forgiveness. I think, you know, obviously I know just about every one of you on the call in a manner that you all are comfortable to call me direct, and I appreciate it. Our relationships are great, and so I kind of want that to also be with your field reps and vice versa. I want the field reps to, you know, again, build that relationship with all of the operators. I think forgiveness, having the ability to forgive, I think it's just going to make your business responsibilities much easier on yourselves. You know, and in turn, that's building relationships. So, and then, you know, if you can do all of that, it's going to essentially create this level of trust. And, you know, having the ability to have a trustworthy working relationship will allow for each of you to be transparent and allow for the field reps, myself, and agency to be able to support and fight for greater opportunities all in all, when we know that, you know, you're doing your best and you are very open and honest with what you want. Because it's very easy to verbalize what you want, but as I go down these promotion and transfer lists, I'm finding myself going to the bottom. But yet, I, you know, oftentimes hear people, you know, at the top that want opportunities. So you got to kind of dig within yourself and be honest with what you want. And you know, truth be told, there may be things in this program that just don't satisfy your interest, and I 1,000% respect it. But, and I think I've said this in the past, tell me what you want, and whether it's in the program or out of the program, you know I'm willing to assist. You know, we have VR, I'm not kicking anyone out of the program, but I just want the best for all of you. So this will probably be my annual spiel of just letting you all know that at the end of the day, you know, it's about each and every one of you, and you know, hopefully being able to maximize all of your interest during your working career. So I think that's what I have for that. And all right. So next on the agenda, NFBI renewal federal fiscal year. So Terry Smith comes from the NFB. I think you all on today's call should have found Terry's presentation very interesting. And it's those type of presentations that are included in the NFB, along with a host of other things that Terry and his team provide each and every year. Terry is, what I love about Terry in particular is the fact that he plays both sides of the table. You know, he's 1,000% supportive of the operators, and he's probably 999% supportive of the administration. He'll probably edge more to the operator. But all in all, he is a voice of reason. He's obviously a brain of just Randolph Shepherd from a historical standpoint, and he's probably top three biggest advocate for the Randolph Shepherd program and is fighting the fight that is necessary, as he stated in today's meeting with the Department of Education and other, you know, federal agencies to open up and provide greater opportunities for this program. So with that said, their service is, there's a fee associated with their service. I believe it's $3,500 every year. And I respect his service. I use Terry often. So I am for renewing this membership, and so I bring it to the committee for vote.
I make a motion to renew our membership to the NFBEI.
Who makes the motion?
Keith Haley.
Thank you.
I have a motion.
Everybody.
Seconded by who?
Dave Pelagi.
I second.
Seconded by Dave Pelagi.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say no. Any abstentions? Motion carried.
All right. Next on the agenda, Schedule C's retirement contributions and insurance. This is a reminder, I need all three. One weird thing for people that may be paying their insurance, recently received two checks, insurance checks, to me from our fiscal department. So we are short-staffed in fiscal. Many people that had key roles and responsibilities have retired or left out of the fiscal division. So if you have submitted a check for your insurance payment and it hasn't deposited, it may be in limbo, but I assure you it will be deposited. It may be coming to me first, and then I'll have to be sending it back to fiscal. But anyhow, there's been some slight confusion with that, but I'm working on correcting that. Schedule C's and retirement contributions, the importance of that. Again, making those payment retirement contributions timely is always a benefit in Schedule C's. That's just part of regulation requirements to have submitted. So if you have them, you're holding on to them, please get them into me timely or soon, because they would have already been overdue by now. But all right. Next on the agenda, proposed 2023 meeting dates. Each one of these dates are a Tuesday. I have March 7th, June 6th, September 12th, and December 6th, 2023. Committee, do you vote and agree to that?
Keith Haley, make a motion to accept all the meeting dates for 2022-2023.
I shall second the motion.
Okay, shall we second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say no. Any abstentions?
Thank you. Transfers and trainings. At this time, we anticipate Weathersfield DMV Micromarket to come up as a potential opportunity. Lloyd Montague has requested to retire. He's actively in retirement stage, but he's actively in the program. Because there's just a huge backup in our retirement division. If you don't know, every operator who is eligible for retirement goes through the same hallway as actual state employees when they're lined up for retirement. And as you all know, state government has drastically shrunk over the past year or 6 months. So with that said, Lloyd is actively looking to retire. So once he has an established retirement date, I will anticipate having this location out for promotion and transfer. And so we'll talk about that. Another location that we immediately are looking for someone is the Bridgeport Mental Health location. Gigi Yanez Hamburger has decided to leave the program. Her husband had gotten employment. Her and her husband operated this location, and her husband got a better work opportunities, in which allowed for Gigi to leave this location. We do believe this location is a viable location. This opportunity is essentially like a small cafeteria set up. I would say it would require an employee. Certainly if we had the perfect candidate who, you know, in numbers just getting strong, we support it, we can readjust the menu offerings. I did meet with the director down there a few weeks ago, and she's essentially on board to, you know, being patient with our program and allowing us to find that operator, in addition, willing to, you know, make any necessary adjustments or listen into any requested adjustments that we may have in future operations of that location. I hate to give that location up, so I am actively looking. There is a candidate from VR that we anticipate will be going down to view this location with the counselor, along with a field representative and myself. I'm going to take a ride down as well and kind of evaluate her interests and her abilities, and see if, you know, she's a fit for this opportunity.
And this is Bridgeport, Tara?
Yes, Bridgeport Mental Health.
Bridgeport. Okay.
All right, so those are the two locations that we're looking for at this time. In regards to trainings, I have a few thoughts in mind for next year, essentially, to see if we can figure out maybe something that is, and I don't know yet because I got to kind of see how the dust falls, but something in line with seeing, you know, our micro markets obviously are it's the push. I mean, the micro markets are the push across the country, and essentially will likely continue to be the push for some time. But I want to see what we can do to, you know, increase these opportunities of offerings. I know we recently received a request from 450 Columbus Boulevard in having sundries added as additional items. So I want to see if we can kind of mock up a micro market and try to max it out, and then essentially have all operators go by and kind of sit in and view and see what the, you know, the offerings are, and unless each operator wants to transition and expand their micro markets together. But I want to utilize a micro market as a base point to really look to see how we can maximize what a micro market option is to the guilds, and then maybe use that as our base level of offerings in the future. So got a few thoughts in mind, nothing set in stone, but that's just one training I have in mind in the near future.
You kind of broke up a little bit. What was the request they had to add?
Oh, sundries, such as like aspirins and you know, just, what was it?
Lip balm.
Yeah, lip balm and, you know, little personal things. So, antifreeze. just some things, you know. Like Terry said, the goal is to maximize these opportunities and not make it just so, you know, so food oriented, but to really utilize our, you know, to be able to maximize the space in which we have first right to. So, you know, let's do it. And again, it goes back to my little, you know, spiel about, you know, being committed, you know, being committed to provide not only the best version of you, but maximizing your brain cells to providing, you know, things that people may need. A dollar is a dollar, whether it comes from a, you know, croissant sandwich or it comes from windshield wiper fluid. I mean, it's a dollar, you know, so you're better off holding the windshield wiper fluid. There's no expiration date behind you. but yeah, so those are some of the things that we got in place. So all right, let's get to it. This is the year with the committee election. I do appreciate all of you on the call. I think I'm going to step away for 5-10 minutes to tally up votes, but I believe just about every person on this call who's in attendance, has made their vote prior to this call, which is huge. I would pretend to act